I see great things in baseball. Our game. The American game.
The one constant through all the years has been baseball.
98.5 The Sports Hub and Tony Mass still have the latest Red Sox and MLB happenings during the offseason. This is the Baseball Reporter's Offseason Podcast. Available on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub app. BePodStudios.com and wherever you get podcasts. Now, here's Mass.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters Podcast. We have a lot to get to, obviously, because the Red Sox have been in the news quite a bit lately, mostly as it pertains to Mookie Betts and the trade to the Los Angeles Dodgers that finally went down. I have not had the opportunity to post a podcast on this particular topic yet. I thought now would be a good time to do it. We were hoping to do a few more podcasts during the offseason, but frankly, the Red Sox didn't do anything. So at least not until the very end here. So now's as good time as any to get to the offseason of the Red Sox and the outlook of the team heading into spring training. And we remind you that the Baseball Reporters program will actually start here at the end of March. That program will take place on a nightly basis from 6 to 7 p.m., as you know, during the week, so long as the Red Sox are in season or playing in the playoffs. And so we look forward to that, and that is also posted on the podcast page here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just a reminder that every week, each week, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast, or any podcast for that matter, on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 Sports Hub app. While you're there, certainly check out all the other original podcasts from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5. You can also find these at bpodstudios.com. B as in Beasley, podstudios.com, and at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the usual places. So here's where I want to start. I thought the most interesting exchange between the media and Red Sox ownership after the Mookie Betts deal took place between Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal, and I've known Sean a long time, and Red Sox ownership. It started with John Henry, but it ended up being really Tom Werner. And McAdam asked a question that, frankly, I don't think the Red Sox have an answer for. They've never had an answer for, and really crystallizes the point that the Red Sox are ultimately responsible for being in a position where they traded Mookie Betts for prospects. Okay, and the short story is this, that the Red Sox are now at a stage in their organizational evolution or development where they have very little payroll flexibility and no prospects. So when you have no payroll flexibility as a result of bad contracts and you have no prospects, you know what that means? You have no cheap players. You can't put a team on the field for a reasonable amount of money because you don't have any cheap players. You don't have any young, affordable players, which is ultimately why, one of the reasons why, they had to trade Mookie Betts. Okay, now, as you know, I've said for 2 years, I thought they were going to ultimately have to move Mookie, so I'm not surprised by the deal at all. I'm frustrated that the Red Sox were in this position. But nonetheless, to me, this was coming, and if you didn't see it coming, you weren't paying attention. The real critical question in this whole thing, given where the Red Sox are and you know how things went for them over a 2 or 3 year span, particularly under Dave Dombrowski, when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2018, and we know all of this now because John Henry has told us this in assorted press conferences, immediately after they won the World Series, Henry sat down with Dave Dombrowski to talk about Dombrowski's contract and the outlook for the Red Sox at that particular point in time. Henry told us that it became apparent to him at that stage that he and Dombrowski were not on the same page and philosophically not in alignment for where the Red Sox wanted to go. Henry wanted to start rebuilding the farm system. Dombrowski wanted to continue to put resources into the big league club because that's what he's done everywhere he's been. And also Dombrowski believes in star players and that's how you win in Major League Baseball. And Dombrowski might be right, by the way. But nonetheless, those two sides were in complete disagreement about where the Red Sox were going. Okay. After that meeting in the fall of 2018, the Red Sox signed Nathan Eovaldi for $68 million. They signed Chris Sale for $145 million. That didn't happen until the subsequent spring. So after knowing that they were not in agreement, the Red Sox spent over $200 million. That ends up being $213 million, I think it is. $213 million on two pitchers with an injury history, both of whom broke down in 2019 and couldn't pitch for the team. Okay? That was a colossal mistake. Within weeks of Chris Sale being shut down for the season last year in 2019, Dave Dombrowski was fired. So, effectively, what you have over the span of several months, a team that wanted to rebuild its farm system allowed a lame duck general manager to sign two players for nearly $250 million, and then they fired him within weeks of that, which makes absolutely no sense. So this was the question that Sean McAdam put to Tom Werner when the owners did their State of the Red Sox address at spring training earlier this week. And just pay attention to the exchange. We're going to play the whole cut for you here, and then I want to get to the particulars. But here's McAdam and Werner going back and forth.
Why greenlight the spending that went on after last offseason, including $213 million to two pitchers with some durability issues, knowing that Mookie was coming to free agency and that this was going to be something you needed to confront?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those decisions on those pitchers before these conversations. As we've said, we were hoping.
If I may, you did say, we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John, about being under the CBT. That was last September.
But we've also said, Sean, that that was a goal, not a mandate. We have been under the CBT some of our years. We've been over the CBT in some of our years. And the more important issue for us is what is it that we can do to make the Red Sox strong in 2020, 2021, 2022. These decisions, there are lots of hypotheticals here. We are pleased with the value that we got back from the Dodgers. We might not be having this discussion. We might have proceeded under a different sort of scenarios, but we are where we are based on the proposal that we agreed to.
Now, look, there are a bunch of things here that you need to pay attention to. First of all, Werner never answered the question, and you know why? Because there is no answer to the question. The answer to the question is we screwed up. That's what the answer to the question is. For whatever reason, Red Sox owners don't do that, or at least not often enough, maybe ever. And even in the middle of that exchange, you heard McAdam say, John Henry told us that you have known for more than a year that you were going to have to get under the threshold. At which point Henry actually interjects and says, right, right. I'll play that part here again for you in a second. But while McAdam is going back and forth with Werner, listen, you'll hear Henry here in the background say, right, as if to say, no, no, Tom, he's got us. Just listen.
We were hoping.
If I may, you did say, we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John.
So again, Werner goes on and on about, well, we're in the spot we are now. It doesn't matter. The question is, why are you in the spot you are now? And the real answer is organizational mismanagement. The Red Sox drafted poorly. They signed bad contracts. They even had violations on the international marketplace that have prevented them from signing international free agents that aren't eligible for the draft. All of that went wrong over the same period of time, and ultimately they ended up in the place they ended up in. Now, I don't understand why the Red Sox ownership can't just sit there and say, look, we got ourselves in a bad spot here. Now we have to dig out. One of the ways to dig out was to trade Mookie, which we'll get to in a second. Henry himself said something in his opening statement that really, to me, crystallized the whole thing and should tell you why the Red Sox are where they are. Okay, Henry talked about the free agent system in Major League Baseball, how it is not like it was when he was a kid and he was a Stan Musial fan, and a lot of people mocked this. And I would tell you that baseball's had a free agent system for a long, long time. So I don't know that I would have spent time on that if I were Henry. But the bottom line is the system is what it is, and the Red Sox screwed up. Henry offered one line, one that really is all the Red Sox had to say, and it was this line.
It's not the system's fault that the Red Sox ended up in this position.
So I'll translate that for you. It's not the system's fault. It's our fault. Now, again, why the Red Sox don't say that, I don't know. Okay. But the real critical point for them, because given all that has gone wrong, they still had a chance to get out of it all at the end of 2018 after winning the World Series. They could have let Evaldi go. And at that time, I told you that that contract was outrageous for Nathan Evaldi. A lot of people wanted to back, myself included. I thought the deal was going to be for 10 or 12 million. It was for 17. And for 4 years, for a guy who has a history of breaking down, is a big mistake. And then the Chris Sale contract in spring training, at the time, again, many of us said, not just me, many of us said at that time, the Red Sox should wait and see how Sale does this year and then try to sign him after the year. They signed him before spring training. They committed to both those guys. So by the time they had a disappointing 2019 and fired Dombrowski, they were already stuck and had nowhere else to turn. Which brings me to Mookie Betts. Okay? And this has something that people are continuing to confuse over and over and over again. And I'm not trying to let the Red Sox off the hook. I've heard people say the Red Sox are cheap. I've heard people say this is a pure salary dump. And the reality is, I don't think either of those things are true, and I think it's lazy and kind of stupid to pick to portray it that way. So let me just put this in the simplest terms possible. And if this makes me some sort of Red Sox bobo, then so be it. But if the Red Sox had been able to sign Mookie Betts, if Mookie Betts were under a long-term contract entering this offseason, does anyone really believe they would have traded him to the Los Angeles Dodgers just to get under the luxury tax threshold? Does anyone believe that? Because if you do, then you're clueless. The point is, Mookie was on the trade market because the Red Sox couldn't sign him. Fact. Now, the luxury tax, it was a factor in this. No two ways about it. They wanted to get under the number of 208. But the only reason Betts was part of the discussion is because they couldn't sign him. If Sale and Evaldi weren't here, by the way, the Red Sox would have saved exactly the same amount of money that they saved by trading David Price and Mookie Betts. Exactly. $43 million for the 2020 season would have been shaved off the payroll either way. So the fact that they traded Mookie had as much or more to do with the fact that he wasn't signed than it did with the luxury tax. Again, if Mookie had been signed to a long-term deal, the Red Sox would have come to a different solution. They'd have traded Jackie Bradley. They probably still would have traded Price and eaten half the money, and they'd have cut someone else off the payroll, or they wouldn't have signed Martin Perez. Maybe they don't sign Martin Perez and Mitch Moreland. Whatever it is, Mookie would still be here, and many of you would still be happy. Mookie is not here because they couldn't come to an agreement. And I'm even picking my words carefully now and not saying, I'm avoiding saying that Mookie didn't want to re-sign with the Red Sox, because a lot of you were going to say that the Red Sox didn't want to pay him. I wouldn't give him 12 years and $420 million either, which is what he asked for. The Red Sox offered him $290. They were probably low. In any case, Mookie was going to go to market. He wanted a Mike Trout deal. I wasn't giving it to him, and neither were the Red Sox. Okay, so phrase it however you want. Mookie was, in their estimation, a signing problem. So that is why Mookie Betts got dealt. Okay, just consider that for a moment. Now, if you think Mookie's worth the 420 over 12 years, all the power to you. I'll disagree. You might be right. We'll see how the contract plays out. The closest the Red Sox came to actually articulating all of this during that press conference on Monday, which was President's Day, is when Sam Kennedy talked about the confusion as it pertained to all the issues facing the team. And Kennedy said this.
We've tried to be clear that this was not exclusively about the CBT and getting under that CBT threshold. There would have been other ways to have done that. You don't trade Mookie Betts to get under the CBT. We traded Mookie Betts and David Price and got back significant value in return.
So now look, you can believe that the Red Sox lie every time they open their mouths, and I wouldn't blame you. Because given the history of the organization and this ownership's inability to just deal with questions and answers in a matter-of-fact manner, their inability to do that inspires you to believe that they're withholding some truth or they're lying to you. I get that. If they were a little more candid and a little more honest, I think they'd get the benefit of the doubt more often. They obviously don't do that. But what Kennedy said there to me is largely true. You don't trade Mookie Betts to get under the luxury tax. You trade Mookie Betts to try to get prospects. Now, did the Red Sox get a good deal in return in Alex Verdugo, a backup catcher, and in Jeter Downs, who's an infielder that projects out a year or two? Maybe. I don't know. I've heard people say they didn't get good enough value in return. How do we possibly know that until we see these guys play? So if Verdugo turns into a regular major league player and Jeter Downs turns into a regular major league player, and maybe they're not even all-star caliber, but they are legitimate everyday big league players. Given that Mookie Betts had 1 year of service left, maybe the Red Sox got enough. I don't know. We'll see how that one shakes out. But the fact is they couldn't trade David Price, at least not his full contract, and get any sort of return for him because Price is overpaid. And again, an injury problem, a bad contract. You couldn't trade Chris Sale, who's coming off an elbow injury after last season, a shoulder injury the year before that. You couldn't trade Nathan Eovaldi. You couldn't trade all those guys and solve two problems. One, a payroll issue, and two, a shortage of talent. The only guy you had on your roster that made sense to trade to be able to address both of those shortcomings, again, a payroll problem and a cheap talent prospect problem, was Mookie and get anything in return. So did they undersell him? Maybe. If Mookie plays 1 year for the Dodgers and they don't win it and he goes to market and those two players in Verdugo and Downs turn out to be decent major leaguers, maybe the Red Sox win the trade because they're going to lose Mookie at the end of 2020 anyway. If Mookie re-signs in L.A., and the Dodgers win with him, and he goes on to have a long and productive career, the Red Sox are going to look like donkeys, as we all know, and it won't be the first time that has happened. But the truth is, if you're another team, and you're looking at the Red Sox, you know who you want? Devers. Are you trading him over Mookie? Bogarts at $20 million per. Are you going to trade him over Mookie? I'm not. Not at that salary. Benintendi? Maybe, but he's one of your few cheap players, and you're not solving your payroll problem by trading him. Jackie Bradley, absolutely, they could have shipped him out the door, but that wouldn't have solved the problem in its entirety either. Go right around the diamond. All the high-paid guys were on the mound. Eovaldi, getting nothing. Sale, nothing. Price, you had to eat half of it anyway. They let Rick Porcello go, and they were still trying to shed another $35, $40 million. As it turned out, $43 million. Mookie Betts was the only guy. He was the only one. I don't like it any more than you do, but under the circumstances, honestly, I don't think they had much of a choice. So anyway, that was the big story. That is the big story with the Red Sox this offseason. And I'll just add one more thing. If J.D. Martinez had opted out of his contract in the fall, you wouldn't have this issue either. The Red Sox would have saved $22, $23 million. They could have traded Price and been right there. As it was, they weren't able to do that. So J.D. Martinez, on some level, screwed the Mookie Betts situation as well. That's just my way of putting it. Subtle, I know. Reminder, each week, again, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. And I shouldn't say, yeah, each week. Periodically is a better way to put it. You can also get it on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts from Boston's Home for Sports. You can also find all of the podcasts at bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the usual places. Thanks to producers Roger Moore and John Riley. We appreciate you listening. We hope to have another podcast here before the start of the season. And again, a reminder, the Baseball Reporters begins on the air end of March. Right now, we're looking somewhere around March 25th, which is the day before opening day. That is a Wednesday. I look forward to interacting with many of you on the air, as always. And thank you for helping to make the program what it has been over the last several years, which is, for me, a real labor of love. But thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.